And the reason for that is because it is said that by circumambulating four times around the temple, one achieves the same benefit, the same good fortune as circumambulation of Giriraj. In the temple, there is a Govardhan Shila about this big that was given by, somehow or other was given to Sanatan Goswami with the footprint of Krishna embedded in that rock. And Sanatan Goswami used to walk from here to Govardhan every day and circumambulate Govardhan and walk back, even in his old age. So then Krishna appeared to him and told him that if you circumambulate this rock of Giriraj, this will be the same as circumambulating, because now you're so elderly, just circumambulate around the rock. So the devotees come here when they visit the Radha Damodar temple and go all the way around all the 100 samadhis, more than 100 samadhis there, and through the Radha Rupa Goswami's area and come back through Srila Prabhupada. So this is an extremely important place. Srila Prabhupada said that Radha Damodar temple is the hub of the spiritual world. It's so significant. And the Radha Damodar temple was built under the auspices of Srila Jiva Goswami on land that was given to him by Emperor Akbar in the time of Akbar. And even though it's not a very impressive temple compared to the larger temples, it had a huge and very highly respected, highly regarded library here. There were so many books by the Goswamis because Srila Jiva Goswami himself was such a philosophical genius, and he wrote down all the treatises for the whole Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta. So when we say something isn't correct according to Siddhanta, it's not just that you or I think one way and somebody else thinks in another way. It's not so arbitrary and whimsical, but everything has been thought out very, very, very carefully by Sri Jiva Goswami and his followers. So Srila Prabhupada himself used to say that never has there been, and nor in the future will there ever be, a scholar of the genius of Srila Jiva Goswami, who's so expert in all levels of philosophy. So Srila Prabhupada came here in the late 50s, after having retired from family life. He left his family after some dispute with his wife, which he would refer to when she was negligent of his and sold his Srimad Bhagavatam set book for some purpose to get some biscuits to eat with her tea or something like that. And Srila Prabhupada, he took that as indication to leave, and he left his home life. He took some years where he traveled around and stabilized his Vanaprastha situation. And then he came to Vrindavan. At first, for 1 year, he stayed at the Vamsi Gopal temple, which is past the Radha Gokulananda temple. If you were to continue going around that street, you'd come to this Vamsi Gopal temple. And then somehow or other it came up that he was offered these two rooms here in Radha Damodar temple. And he would regularly come here and regularly also go to the Radha Raman temple. But when he was offered the opportunity to live here, he took that very, very seriously. At that time, these rooms were not maintained like this. They were very, very run down and very dilapidated. And yet Srila Prabhupada chose to come and live here. And Srila Prabhupada at that time also was very poor. Ambika's outside, she just went in another entrance, so she may not know where to come.
So I want to go and grab
Ambika. Just get Ambika, she just went that way. There she is. Oh, come. Haribo Ambika. So here we are, all sitting around Prabhupada. Prabhupada looks like our grandfather. Very grandfatherly, sitting, writing, and welcoming us all in his presence. So Prabhupada came here and he used this place as his base. He loved to live here. It was completely natural for him. He was completely satisfied living here. In the day, he would cook for himself very simply. who would use this room for resting and for his writing of his Bhagavatams. And when he would sit to take his prasad, he would sit over there on the seat in the kitchen area, and he would look out at the Rupa Goswami's samadhi. And one thing I would like to add, when we were talking earlier about Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's books that Srila Prabhupada was taking from the different acharyas, he also said that Krishna is directing me what I should take from here and what I should take from there and what I should take. So it was not just that Srila Prabhupada was in a certain mood one day, so he felt like something. Everything was, it was completely under the guidance and supervision and surrender to his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and likewise completely surrendered to Lord Chaitanya and to Krishna. So over on this side, when we're going through the samadhi area where all the samadhis are, we can have a look if you missed out. When you first go in through the gateway there, out of the temple courtyard, to your right, there are three big samadhis. The first one is the samadhi of Sri Jiva Goswami himself. The second one is the samadhi of some Krishna Das. Some people say it's Krishna Das Kaviraj. Some people say it is Krishna Das Brahmachari, who was a disciple after Sri Jiva Goswami. And then I think the third one is the samadhi of King Veer Ambir. Remember, King Maharaj Veer Ambir was the one who stole the Goswami literatures from Srinivasacharya and the Goswamis when they were taking them back to Bengal, and they came through his province, and he found out through his astrologers that something very valuable was in the boxes that they were carrying, and he stole those books. And then after that, by the arrangement of Sri Sanatan and through Srinivasacharya, this king became a great exalted Vaishnava, and his whole family did also. And his wife, his daughter, I beg your pardon, became the wife of Srinivasacharya himself, who was, of course, as we heard, he was a disciple of or a student of Srila Jiva Goswami living here. So the deities on the altar, there are four sets of deities, and Srila Prabhupada himself explained that those four sets of deities previously had four different temples. But over time, the Goswamis or whomsoever may have been in charge of those temples sold those temples and amalgamated and sold the land and so on. So the four sets of deities were brought and placed on this altar here. So when Srila Prabhupada came here to stay, those four sets of deities were already there. And as I was coming down, I was talking to Palika about how Srila Prabhupada's influence, directly and indirectly, has actually changed the face of Vrindavan. In the years, in the 40 years since Srila Prabhupada was living here. Because when he was living here, he would describe how run down and dilapidated this temple was, and how all over Vrindavan the temples were not kept up very nicely. Because time is like that. But when Srila Prabhupada came back and built his Krishna Balaram Mandir, which was commonly known at that time as the Angrez Mandir. Angrez means the foreigner's mandir. So just like there's the Banki Bihari temple, and there's another temple called the Madan Mohan temple, we weren't called the Krishna Balaram temple, we were called the Angrez Mandir. And anyone would refer to us as that, the foreigner's mandir. But then gradually Srila Prabhupada's disciples in different ways have spread out in different directions. They have either taken shelter of different groups, different organizations, or remained within Srila Prabhupada's society. But all the temples, the Goswamis at Gopal Bhatta Goswami, have now many foreigners who are part of their institutions. And also all the temples have thrived by the fact that so many foreigners came, and standards went up and standards went up and standards went up again. So especially the temples who had been affected by Srila Prabhupada's disciples, either within his movement or from without, have prospered very much. And now Vrindavan has become a very popular place, you can see. Even we're disturbed by the crowds of people who are coming here. It wasn't like that when Srila Prabhupada was living here. It was very quiet. Only the local people had an appreciation for these Goswami places. So Srila Prabhupada wanted this. He wanted Vrindavan and the gifts of Sri Vrindavan Nath, Krishna himself, to become spread and given throughout the world. So he was sitting here writing his Bhaktivedanta purports, taking his bath, eating something simple, cooking, eating, living a very, very simple life. But all the time, he was completely conscious that he had an order to carry out on behalf of his spiritual master, and that he had not yet fulfilled that instruction, even though he himself was completely satisfied and fulfilled by living in Vrindavan. When Srila Prabhupada went to America, sometime later when he was living in New York, there's one tape, you may have heard it, where he was speaking before he had any disciples at all. He was speaking to some uptown New York ladies who were interested in yoga and an impersonal guru who came politely to listen to him. And he was saying about sacred, he mentioned the word sacred places, the power of a sacred place. So the lady, one of the ladies with a very American accent, she said, "Oh, you know, Swami, you were talking about secret places, and Prabhupada says, no, sacred places. And this caused Prabhupada to muse very intimately about a sacred place, and his heart and mind went to Vrindavan. And Srila Prabhupada says that here I am in New York, but I'm feeling so much separation from Sri Vrindavan Dham. And he said to these ladies from New York, he said to them at one point, he was teaching them Bhagavad Gita. He said, "Has anyone ever seen a picture of Krishna?" And then when you listen to his voice sort of slightly shocked, gently shocked. "Oh, nobody." Nobody there knew really what Prabhupada was teaching. But still, as soon as he arrived in America, he was teaching, giving Krishna to anyone, even if they couldn't understand anything he was saying. So he told them, if you were to see that place of Vrindavan, you would become so happy that you would not be able to understand how I could have left that place. So I was thinking once when I first heard that tape, how though to those ladies, if they came here to Vrindavan, they probably wouldn't have been able to understand what it was that Srila Prabhupada found so attractive in Vrindavan, with all of its inconveniences, and the noise, and the crowds, and the loudspeakers, and the everything else. Why Srila Prabhupada found Vrindavan very, very difficult to leave, and was always missing the place. But practically speaking, this was Srila Prabhupada's mood. And he came back here in 1972, and he gave discourses by the Bhajan Kutir and the Samadhi of Srila Rupa Goswami on the nectar of devotion. And I think there, Narayani Mataji was there at that time. Also Malati Mataji was there, and also one Ganga Mayi, who has recently left this world, she was also present at that particular time, and many other Western devotees. So Srila Prabhupada said that, he requested that, "I will eternally reside here at the Radha Damodar temple," and gave very strict orders that his worship should continue here. So we have kept these rooms, sometimes with effort, and sometimes without difficulty, and maintained these rooms, and there is always at all times one devotee who lives down here and does the puja and worship here. The devotee is at present over in the other side in the kitchen. Sometimes for some time it would be a sannyasi, then sometimes it would be an Indian person. But whenever there was need for change, someone else would come and continue with the worship. When I first came, the bhoga and everything was cooked at the temple and bicycled down for every offering. Still is? Yeah. So this was the system. And Srila Prabhupada would take his prasadam here. I believe that if you ask and give request in advance, you can take prasadam here from the Radha Damodar temple. So this is just a few of the specialities of this particular place. As we go from place to place, we find one opulence after another. And we should learn to savor all the different flavors. It's like there are 12 forests of Vrindavan. And it is said, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that each one of those forests represents a flavor, that there are 5 primary rasas and there are 7 secondary rasas. Likewise, there are 12 different rasas of the tongue, or flavors like sweet, sour, and so on and so forth. And that by traveling all those 12 forests, one can taste the fragrance and flavor of all these different rasas, both of this world and of Krishna's transcendental pastimes. So likewise, as we go from one Vaishnava associate to the next, one place of worship, one deity where one particular deity's mood is there, to the next, we have the good fortune of actually savoring all these different aspects that make up this place. And Srila Prabhupada also said that Vrindavan is such a holy place that there are over 1,000 temples here. And everybody said, 1,000 temples? And then Srila Prabhupada said, yes, and practically in every house you'll find there's a temple. And he said, this is what I want to bring to the West. That in the evening, when you're walking down the streets of the West, just imagine, you're walking down the streets of Adelaide or Australia, Melbourne or New Zealand or wherever, that you could hear the tinkling bells. He said, I will be satisfied when you can hear the tinkling bells as you walk down the street of the aartis that are being performed in all the houses. So this will happen, because so many things that Srila Prabhupada said would happen have already happened. And he's following with full faith Mahaprabhu that every town and every village my name will be heard and my name will be sung. So we're fortunate, we're pioneers, we're beginners in this movement of Srila Prabhupada's. And because we're beginners, there's so many, many, many people who are not interested in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and they're not chanting the holy names. And sometimes, I speak for myself, I feel grossly outnumbered by the materialists of this world. So we can sit here before Srila Prabhupada, and I'm sure that if Srila Prabhupada was here, he would place his hand on the head very gently of all those who are trying in some way or another to please him by performing some endeavor or another to spread or maintain Krishna consciousness anywhere, anywhere at all. And he would be very, very pleased. So we should feel assured of his blessings, and we should also feel very eager to seek further strength from him and pray for him to please take us when we go back to our places and give us more strength and give us more conviction and more understanding of how to please him and how to serve and how to make this movement strong and make it as what he wanted, instead of making it something that is afflicted from without and within by the materialism of the Kali Yuga as we know it. So we should try to get Prabhupada's blessings. It isn't very difficult. But we should try for more and more of his blessings. Especially because today we're here, tomorrow we'll be in Krishna Balaram Mandir. And if you think about it, there are many places that you can see Prabhupada there. You walk in, you'll see him in the Samadhi. You walk into the temple, you'll see him on the Vyasasan. You walk over to worship the deities, you'll see him on the altar. You walk around the back into his room, you'll see him sitting writing, just like this. You walk into the other room, you'll see him sitting there while his disciples give Bhagavad Gita classes. And you'll see him in so many places. Similarly, in the VIAG, you'll see Prabhupada sitting, and so many devotees are worshipping Srila Prabhupada. So we should try to get close to him. It isn't difficult. He understands what it's like to be entrapped with a Western psychology that is addicted to sense gratification, because he personally went there, and as we all know, he saw the West. He knows what it's like. He knows how difficult it is for his disciples and his grand disciples to continue to be strict and to follow him. But we should really sincerely try to, because as Srila Prabhupada said, this is the path of freedom. And the path of sense enjoyment is the path of bondage. It's bondage to karma, for so many lifetimes after lifetimes of reactions to our material deeds. So let us try and pray here that Srila Prabhupada might be pleased with us, and he might bestow upon us some strength and inspiration to go deeper into our Krishna consciousness. So we can sit here for a couple of minutes with Prabhupada before moving on. Oh.